are listening to The Sun on the Strip. I'm Brock Radke, entertainment writer for the Las Vegas Sun, and every Wednesday I'll have an exclusive conversation with someone who is being fabulous on the Las Vegas Strip, as well as an update on what's going on in the world of entertainment here in Vegas. Thank you for listening. The big holiday weekend that Las Vegas and the rest of the country has been pointing to for months as the time when things would get back to normal, it's here. The 4th of July is Sunday, and this is the first major three-day weekend for Las Vegas since the city and the Strip returned to full capacity with no restrictions. This weekend will bring the biggest non-sports live entertainment events Vegas has seen in 15 months, including the first major concert at Allegiant Stadium with dance music star Alenium on Saturday night, Dave Chappelle at MGM Grand Garden Arena Friday and Saturday, Bruno Mars in the first major residency show comeback at Park Theater Saturday and Sunday, and many more. We also have some major production shows returning this week. Cirque du Soleil's Mystère already made its comeback on Monday, and O at Bellagio reopens Thursday. Shin Lim, who you're going to hear from in just a bit, reopens his show at the Mirage Thursday as well, and so does another magician, Xavier Mortimer, who takes his new show from Bally's to the Strat. If you're in town and looking to score some tickets to some of these big shows or others taking over the Strip for the weekend, be sure to read my Best Bets column this Friday and every Friday. It's at LasVegasSun.com. Speaking of the Strat, another show was announced for the suddenly energized Strat Theater on Monday night, and it's a headlining residency from a rock and roll Hall of Famer. Sammy Hagar and Friends has already planned four shows this fall at the Strat. So this was just announced Monday night, and today, which is Tuesday for me, I bumped into Adam Steck of Spy Entertainment. He's co-producing Sammy Hagar's show, and those four shows have already sold out before going on sale to the general public. So expect to see many more shows added to the schedule very soon. Hagar is going to be playing lots of songs from past bands. Van Halen, of course, Chickenfoot, The Circle, and stuff from his solo career. And that's clearly a very different show from Xavier Mortimer's The Dreammaker, which is a really whimsical and fun magic show. So Spy Entertainment and The Strat are already doing interesting things in that room. I think you should keep an eye on it. One of my favorite Vegas comedians is coming back to his residency on July 26th. Eddie Griffin returns to the Sahara for another midweek residency. He'll play Monday through Wednesday at 8 p.m. Now, he had been performing at the smaller club-type space known as the Sayers Club. A lot of change and renovation has occurred at the Sahara and is continuing to happen. And it looks like he's going to play his first few shows in the Magic Mike Theater. That place has not opened yet. Magic Mike is going to return to shows in August. So, and then in August, Eddie Griffin is going to jump over to the Sahara Theater, which is a larger space near the Bizarre Meat restaurant. Glad to have him back. He's hilarious. Comedy legend, if you ask me. And more residency show news. The Righteous Brothers, Bill Medley and Bucky Hurd, are moving from Harrah's at Center Strip to the South Point, which is on Las Vegas Boulevard, but much farther south. And they'll be performing there beginning in August. They'd been at Harrah's showroom since 2017. This move makes sense since Bill Medley has been buddies with South Point owner Michael Gaughan for years. And the Harrah's showroom is about to be the home of a new residency from Donny Osmond later this year. You might remember my interview with Bucky Hurd on The Sun on the Strip a few months back. This is a great act, obviously, and it will do very well south of the Strip at the South Point. Look, there's a lot more stuff happening in the world of Vegas entertainment, but I can't fit it into this quick news chat every week, so please read my Thursday column, Curtain Up, at LasVegasSun.com, and then you will know everything I know, all the time. As mentioned, the great Shin Lim is my guest this week. You know him as the only two-time champion on America's Got Talent. He started a successful headlining show at the Mirage Theater a few years back, when that room was also being shared by Terry Fader, Boyz II Men, and the Aces of Comedy series. Now Fader is at New York, New York, and Boyz II Men has yet to return, so the room is all his, and it's been renovated to his specifications and looks pretty spectacular. That's going to allow Shin to do some big illusions he's never done before and really amplify his unique act of sleight of hand close-up magic. He's back on stage at the Mirage this week on Thursday night. It's a really big deal for this iconic Strip property, to have this legendary theater activated once again, and I can't wait to see what he's done to his already amazing show. Here's my conversation with Shin Lim.
It's the middle of June, and you are reopening the show at the Mirage on July 1st. Are you just like super deep into rehearsals and setting up right now, or what's going on?
Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, pretty much all of quarantine, I've been super deep into experimenting with new concepts, experimenting with new effects. I've been doing a lot of trial and error, and also just developing new slights, all for the show. And also to have just a new repertoire. It's always good to have a refreshing tricks, because you know you don't always do the same stuff. Well, I personally just get bored if I keep doing the same thing. So it was really good to be able to just kind of, you know, step away from the performance aspect, because it's a totally different game. Like it's totally different from performing when it comes to creating. Creating is like a it's fun. It's like it's almost like a science project, and so I've been doing a lot of that during my downtime, and now I was starting to gear everything up for the shows and putting everything together. We're about to rehearse everything in the new theater, so the theater's like kind of redesigned. Before I kind of had to work around Terry Fader's theater. I wasn't able to touch anything. I couldn't move anything. So it was very difficult for me to really do what I wanted to do freely. But now the theater is pretty much mine. So it's been completely refurbished, essentially. And yeah, I'm going to be able to do some amazing things there.
Yeah, I know that makes a really big difference. You're going to be one of the first, maybe the first show to be back in that room. I know the comedy is going to be back soon, but that obviously doesn't require a lot of staging or setup. So, yeah, it sounds like you got kind of a fresh blank canvas to play around with.
Yeah, it's really good. And also, I believe it possibly will be at 100%, or very likely be 100% capacity by the time I open. So I think they're waiting on that as well, because it's a big theater in terms of seats. I remember that was kind of an issue. The more seats there were, it was harder to get a full capacity, because can't have too many people in one room.
Yeah, I mean, that's got to feel great for you. You know, even though it's been so long since you performed in Las Vegas, it must feel good to be able to reopen without all those restrictions that a lot of other performers had to deal with over this time, right?
Yeah, there were so many unknowns that, because we were debating on opening, I think it was like 6 months ago. And so we're like, okay, so, and we have a lot of audience participation in the show, at least my special guest Colin Cloud, he has a lot of special guests come up he has a lot of guests come up on stage and kind of participate in the show. So it was very tricky for us to try to figure out, like, how do we work around all of that? And then they got to wear masks and we have to wear masks on stage, so it was very, very tough. But now that all those things have kind of died down, so it'll be a lot easier.
Well, I'm glad to hear that Colin is going to continue to be a big part of the show, because you guys have such great rhythm and chemistry in the previous version. So is that going to pretty much stay the same, the format wise, where you guys are going back and forth?
Yeah. The entire show's actually changed though. So in terms of a storyline base, it's a lot more personal and it's a lot more like, abstract as well. So he plays kind of like a narrator in a sense, like kind of like a Morgan Freeman, if you will. but no, we still go back and forth, but it's in a different way now. So it's cool. I think people who have seen the show before, if they watch it, some of the effects might be the same, but it'll feel completely different. At least that's how I feel when I'm seeing it from an outside perspective. It really feels completely different. So I'm very excited.
It sounds like you, I mean, in talking to different people who have reopened their shows on the Strip or prepared to, like you getting ready to do it again, you know, some people have taken kind of a starting over approach and some people have taken trying to pick up where they left off. It sounds like you decided really early on that you wanted to really change it up quite a bit.
Well, that decision actually happened later on. To be honest, I wasn't doing anything during the first, I think, 6 months of lockdown. I was just playing Call of Duty mainly. And but then once it started getting closer to like opening, or at least when the MGM wanted to start opening, then I started taking the creative more seriously. And I was like, okay, I think this is the perfect opportunity for me to make the changes now. And I better make it now, because then I won't have time later on.
You're known obviously for these, you know, super meticulous routines that clearly take a lot of planning and thoughtful planning. How do you think all this time away from the stage affected your creative process in general?
I think the only thing really probably is just what people enjoy how people react to certain tricks, because I think once you haven't done that for such a long time, you kind of forget how people react to a magic trick, because magic is so kind of different from a lot of the other different art forms, in a sense where it's like something entertaining, but at the same time, there's a puzzling aspect to it where it's something that fools people and they don't know how to solve it. And so you kind of forget what makes people react to certain puzzles, essentially. But other than that, it wasn't too bad. You know, being away from the stage, I think I still kind of was able to create the show how I wanted to create it. And it was actually a pretty good sabbatical, I would have to say, because it really kind of reset everything in my brain and helped me focus a lot more on how to create something really, really different. And like I said before, it's a lot more personal to my story. And I was able to actually really self-reflect a lot during this time as well, for that. So yeah, it actually was, I think, a blessing in disguise, in terms of being in lockdown. I know a lot of people, you know, had a hard time in lockdown, not able to go out. For me, I'm an introvert, so I actually don't really mind being inside. And, I think it was really good, and I can't wait for people to see what I've created.
I mean, I feel like that's kind of the story of your career, is bringing something really different to the stage and to the presentation, and you know, doing some things that people are familiar with, but putting a different spin on it that is very unique to your own style. So now that you had all this time to dig into that deeper and really create some new stuff, how do you balance how much new stuff you want to have versus kind of giving people what they expect, what they know and love, and what they want to see from your show?
Yeah, so I'm still doing the same two acts that I'm kind of like known for in the magic community, at least. So I still kept that, because I know if I don't perform those, they would oust me. So I'm still performing those two acts, but then everything else is pretty much changed. So yeah, some old stuff, but yeah, a lot more new stuff.
Is there something new that you're particularly excited about, even if it's just like a specific effect or anything like that?
Yeah. So I'm adding in, it's not too many at this time. It's actually only three or four moments, but they're pretty much like big illusions, and I've never done big illusions before. So I've kind of added them throughout the show, but they're not like a specified moments per se. They're kind of interweaved throughout the show, kind of unsuspectingly. So I don't know if you've seen like illusion shows, but sometimes it takes a long time to set up for the big massive illusion to happen. So I wanted to not have that. I wanted to kind of sneak it in, like in the middle, to kind of happen within the close-up trick. So it kind of throws people off. And so I'm most excited for that, because I've never done illusions before ever for people. So I'm very excited to see their reaction. I'm hoping it works. That's the one thing I'm excited for.
One of the last times we spoke, I found out we had something in common, which is that we both got into cooking a little bit deeper during the pandemic and all this time at home. How's that going? Have you found any other favorite recipes that you're perfecting?
Yeah. I've been cooking borscht. It's like a Russian soup.
I didn't expect you to say that.
Yeah, it's really good. It's beetroot. It's like meatball soup, and it's pretty much their version of like the chicken, healthy chicken soup. With like risotto rice. It's really good. It's very tasty. Yeah. I had it when I was in St. Petersburg a long time ago, and I during the lockdown I remembered how much I liked it, and I was like, oh, I should search up how to cook that. So that I learned how to cook that.
This sounds like the beginning of a blog or a cookbook or something.
Yes.
Exploring the world and stealing recipes that you love from all over the place.
Yes.
That sounds pretty good.
Anthony Bourdain.
There you go. There you go. Well, what else do you want to say to everybody who is excited to see you back on stage at the Mirage?
Well, for everyone, all my fans and anyone who's seen the show before, I think you guys are going to really love this new one, because you'll still get to see some of the old tricks, but there's a lot of new things, I think. And also a new storyline that is a lot more personal to me. And I think you guys will like that a lot. And for those who have never seen Magic or maybe never seen me, come see the show. It's different. Pretty sure it's different from a lot of other bigger illusions. It's a lot more intricate. It's very fast paced. The show is very one after the other. It doesn't really slow down at all. And so if you get bored easily at shows, then maybe this one's for you.
That's all I got this week. Special thanks to Shin Lim. Go see him at the Mirage. This is one of my favorite Magic shows on the Strip, and he's doing it in the room where Siegfried and Roy used to perform. So pretty cool experience. Shin Lim at the Mirage Theater. If you want to find past episodes of this show, go to lasvegassun.com/podcasts, or you can listen and subscribe on Apple Podcasts. Thanks for listening. I'll be back next Wednesday. Take care.